Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball, it's Gerard Gilroy. Now, before you dive into this podcast, there are plenty of ways to build an acca. Some people stick with the favourites, some are convinced they've cracked it, others less sure once the final result goes sideways. However you do it, William Hill lets you boost your football acca, giving you more back when it comes good. Just build the acca you want with four or more legs and William Hill will boost your winnings depending on the number of selections. The boost is applied automatically and shown right there in your bet slip, so you know exactly what you're getting. Whether it's a quiet midweek fixture or a big weekend of football, it's a simple way to get more out of every acca you place. Download the app or visit William Hill to get started today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
Off The Ball Breakfast.
Abdul Fadawa for Leicester. Check it out. Beats two men. Scores from the halfway line.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No. Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Friday and welcome to another episode of Word on the Street, where every week we take a trending sporting topic, something that is dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public. So we're still in the festive spirit here at Off The Ball, and we had the very original idea of looking at people's favourite sporting moments of 2025 and looking ahead to 2026. So we're recording this in 25, and via a bit of time travel, you'll be hearing this just after New Year's. So here is episode 31. Goodbye, 2025. Rachel is with me in studios. How are you?
Great, Eve. I've been looking at you all day, but it's just when I see you in the monitor, I realise we're very matchy-matchy.
We are.
Yeah, yours is technically probably festive. Mine is, like, you know, flirting with the thin line of festivity.
It is, but I feel like the vibes of it give, it's giving festive.
It's giving chalet.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should be skiing.
Yeah.
But I like that we've gone with a slightly muted colour grading as well.
Yeah, like, we can leave the office after this, go out for drinks, and it not be too Christmas jumpery.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a big fan of a Christmas jumper. Some people find it a bit too much, but I like it.
Oh yeah, no, I'm all for it. It's all a bit of fun.
Exactly. Susanna can't be with us today, but never fear, you're going to have so much what's to look forward to in the new year, and I'll talk a bit more about that later on. But yeah, we just wanted to have a look back, not only kind of at our year, obviously it's the first year we've had this lovely podcast to do, but also it's been a mental year for sports both in Ireland and outside of Ireland. But I feel like when you're asking people about their top moments of 2025, there's a lot of recency bias.
Yeah. When you said it was a mental year, like, it's crazy. This is obviously my first year working in this industry. And I remember at the start thinking, like, God, I wonder, are there days where you're kind of like, what are we going to talk about today?
No.
It's never happened. It's never happened. I'm like, has it just been like a spectacular year for sport in Ireland in general? But then when you look back on previous years, it's like, obviously it's been incredible because we've had so much success, but something is always happening. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Very, very nice, very on theme. But I agree. I mean, there's only maybe for 3 days in August are you kind of going, nothing really on. And especially at this time of year, you turn on your TV, like outside in the office, we have the darts on the massive telly. Not to make everyone very jealous of our workspace, but there's a darts on the massive telly and I'm glued to it all day. And there's football on and there's rugby coming up and it's kind of nonstop. And it's been like that all year.
Yeah, it doesn't stop, which is great. Maybe not. Maybe the athletes are probably like, oh my God, give us a little bit of a...
They need a rest.
Give us a little Christmas break off. Myself and Susanna were at the Olympic Awards like 2 weeks ago and... like every question we're asking, we're like, oh, you're looking forward to the break over Christmas? Like, you're going to let your hair down tonight? And 90% of them are like, we're training tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, they're like, that's what separates them from me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I take 5 months off before preseason and that's what makes them different.
Because I feel like, especially for the Olympic athletes, like their road to LA 28 has been like, they've began that.
They're halfway down that road.
Yeah, exactly, which is nuts. And of course, we have the Winter Olympics to look forward to before that. But again, a lot more on that later on. But I want to start, I guess, our look back episode. We have loads of comments from viewers and from the public. And then we were also chatting to everyone in the office asking for their top moments of 2025. And we're going to start with Colin Buig, who I think summed up what most people were feeling about this year?
Top sporting moments of 2025 for me. Just can't avoid Troy Parrott. Like, it's going, everyone's going to say it, right? Everyone's going to say it. But I'll just bring you back to that, like, dreary Sunday afternoon in mid-November. Nobody had any right to feel that happy at that time of year. Like, in my opinion, humble opinion, it's the worst time of year. It's worse than January, right? You're kind of in no man's land with bank holidays. Christmas is miles away. That's the next holiday. And I remember the weather that day in Ireland was terrible. And Troy Parrott lit up our lives, and for days afterwards we were all on cloud nine, and that cloud kept us afloat above the November dreariness for longer than anyone anticipated. By far that as well. Honourable mentions too to Rory at the Masters. Stayed up all night to watch that. The Ryder Cup as well. That Sunday, the Ryder Cup was mental because Europe had a historical lead heading into the Sunday singles, and then that Sunday was like I've never seen anything like it with all the red in that scoreboard. And Jesus, America nearly won it, like, and then Shane Lowry pops up and he has that celebration. He's kind of whispering on the green because he can't, like, ruin the green because the match is still on. There's still games on in the background. So it was amazing. Like, Kate O'Connor, I watched she did. Katie Taylor winning again. Katie McCabe winning the Champions League with Arsenal. There's loads. But I'll avoid all the All-Ireland talk now, so we won't do anything with that. But I think Troy Parrott, well, his two games, Portugal, the two goals he scored in Dublin. But the Hungary match, I mean, it could be, never mind 2025, the best ever.
Where were you for Troy Parrott's goal? I realise we actually never talked about this on the pod.
I was in my friend Rachel's house with her dad and her sister.
Aww.
Cozied up at a fire, just about to head out for drinks. She's home, she lives in Spain, so we were just about to go out for drinks, sat down and watch. I remember I was at my home house and her house is like a 5 minute drive away, and I was trying to make the drive in.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to find a lull here, and thankfully I didn't miss anything. It was like, I can't remember what time it was, but it was like, got in, like, ran down, and just incredible. Yeah. Like, Rachel would be a massive sports fan,
but
she still loved every second of it. Where were you? Were you working?
I wasn't working. I think I was at home and I was sick and I was like in bed. And then the second that goal went in, I felt instantly revitalised. It was, I kind of wish I was in one of those people who was in, you know, a pub and you have those stories and those memories forever. I'm never a huge fan of people recording like final moments of games, even though I have done it myself, but I'd kill to have kind of footage of that moment if I was somewhere. Like, I mean, you've seen the Dublin airport footage.
Have you seen the Kerry airport footage?
No.
I don't know if you've ever been in the airport in Kerry.
I can tell you I have not.
Shout out, it's iconic. It's like a living room basically.
Yeah.
And the security guard is just halted people boarding the flight so they can all watch the game.
That's
minute
brilliant.
He scores, it's over. He's like, right, come on, give me your boarding pass. It's unbelievable.
I love it. And I feel like, even though Cullum listed about 17 other Irish sporting moments.
Yeah, Cullum gave us the blueprint for a bumper episode. Thank you, Cullum.
Well, thank you very much. But it kind of started and ended with Troy, and I feel like that's what so many people are taking from this year. I mean, if we just look at the comments that we asked you guys from, you know, Jimmy on Instagram, Troy Parrott, obviously no one cares about golf. Bit me, I care about golf, Jimmy, occasionally. Martin, 100% Troy Parrott. On Facebook, David said, Troy Parrott's five goals. Carl said, Troy, and then Troy.
Yeah, it's not that it's not an argument, because it is. Like, you know, there's been some unbelievable moments. My one gripe, not gripe with this, but I only kind of realised it today, and I was like, what I'm looking for in this discussion is like moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Troy's five goals, incredible. That was an achievement. It was a series of moments.
Okay.
So I'm like, what 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Like, what moment in time? And for most people, it is probably when Troy's goal goes in against Hungary.
Exactly.
But like, I want to get down to the specifics, to the nitty gritty.
I like that, because I feel like some people could say, I don't know, like the whole Lions tour, for example, is, we were talking about this, it's an omission. Nobody mentioned the Lions as their moment of 2025, because I feel like there weren't any big moments. It was an achievement, as you said, you know, winning the tour, but they didn't have that kind of, as you said, 5 seconds of intensity. Of magic. And that was Troy Parrott's goal. That was, you know, Rory McIlroy's putt at the Masters, which was brought up a lot on on Instagram. Will O'Callaghan, I think, texted about five different people being like, it's Rory McIlroy. It is.
I did reply to Will saying, thanks very much for not bringing your Offaly bias into this and saying, you know, the Offaly camogie yeah. when you need to mediate All-Ireland final or Alex Dunn's achievements.
Or even Shane Lowry at the Ryder Cup. You know, we had two mega Irish sporting moments in golf this year. And I was flipping in my head myself, which moment was my moment in terms of, was it McIlroy at the Masters or was it Lowry at the Ryder Cup? And if you said to me you can only pick one of those to relive, I would say Lowry at the Ryder Cup, because it was such an expression of joy when that happened. Whereas when McIlroy sank his putt, it was just exhaustion. I was delighted for him. Like, I've never been happier for someone that I've never met and don't know. But I felt like I was on that psychological journey with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was just so tiring, whereas there was more, I think, joy associated with the Lowry one.
Yeah, I think I've spoken on this pod before, but I've got such a regret over how I watched the Masters. I just moved up here. It was like my second week of work.
Okay.
And I just moved into my house, so like didn't have a TV, didn't really know how to, like the TV downstairs worked or anything.
Yeah.
So I was just refreshing Twitter on FaceTime to my friend Anna, who was watching it, but I couldn't see it properly. So like, yeah, it was class, but I didn't get that. I didn't get to watch it happening. I got to watch it happening through FaceTime, through a laptop screen. But it just, it was amazing. Yeah. But like, as moments go, I'll remember where I was for all the wrong reasons.
Well, speaking of that, we were asking Matthew in the office about his favourite moment. And I thought instinctively what he's going to say, Troy Parrott. And he did, but maybe not in the way that some people would expect.
My sporting moment of 2025 goes without saying has to be Troy Parrott's winner against Hungary in Budapest. I spent the last 5 minutes here trying to come up with something else, but I was at Kerry Armagh. David Clifford was phenomenal. Paddy Clifford as well was phenomenal in that game too. 15 minute blitz, being some other ones too, obviously all the golf, but I don't think I would say, I'd go as far as saying my sporting moment of 2025 in the Troy Parrott goal will probably be my sporting moment of my life up until this point as well, and it'll be a tough one to beat going forward.
Can I just call out Matthew there, that when I was chatting to him in the office 2 days ago, he actually said Troy Parrott's goal against Portugal, like he was live there in the stadium 2C, which was, I wish I was there. But no, I think what he said in terms of Troy Parrott's goal being like the sporting moment of his life, it's kind of what Troy Parrott himself said. You know, he said against the Portugal, after the Portugal game, he was like, this is the best night of my life. Then 3 days later, this is the best night of my life. And then if we fast forward to March and, you know, touch wood, fingers crossed, it all goes well, he could have three more best nights of his life and could give some people, a lot of people, the best sporting day of their lives. Especially for people kind of our age who can't remember or weren't around for Italia 90, kind of the build-up and the atmosphere and the excitement in the country. I've never seen that before. I was walking down O'Connell Street like that evening after I was suddenly revitalised from my illness because of the goal. And there are just people singing in O'Connell Street. It was lovely. And, you know, it's an addictive feeling that everyone wants more of.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, and afterwards as well, it's like, yeah, you're watching the goal, but then you're watching the celebrations of the goal on the CCTV of the pubs, like we said, in the airports. You're watching his interview, like that beautiful interview where he is just so lost for words. You're like Shane Hannan in here, his commentary.
It's like no one
could get enough of anything to do with it. Like, you know, show me just like Troy Parrott making a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I would tune in.
I've rewatched that kind of audio, or listened again to that audio segment of Shane Hannan on for that goal, and it's only about 40 seconds long, but I still get goosebumps. Like it's like a month removed, and it's still such an amazing moment. Because I was chatting to him the next week when I saw him, and I said, "How much of that had you kind of pre-prepared? Like if there's a last minute winner, or if there's a dramatic moment?" And he was like, "None of it. It's just all in the moment."
That's impressive. That's pro. Well done, Shane.
Well, humble brag there. I just had this really iconic piece of commentary, just, you know, out of the blue.
Your football fan, Eve, was...
I am.
Troy, your number one moment?
No, but it's only because, maybe if I was in the right atmosphere, it would have been. But even then, and this comes from this whole country over club thing, My club is Tottenham Hotspur. It's my dad's club. It's my uncle's club, my aunt's club, my nanny's club. It's a club I've grown up watching. And seeing them win the Europa League back in May is an emotion I will absolutely never forget. And the tension of that whole day building up to it. I mean, I came into the office the next day to do this podcast. Knackered, like absolutely
smug. Is the word I would use to describe Eve that day. She was smug.
It was genuinely the happiest moment of my life when that full time whistle. It was an awful game of football. One of the worst afternoons of my life. I was so tense and it was terrifying. And I'd never been in that position before where Spurs had scored in a final and were leading and, you know, had to keep that lead.
So is it when they score or is it the full time whistle or is it when they lift the cup?
It's the full time whistle.
Full time whistle.
I was one of those people that ended up recording that moment. I think I was saying this on the podcast before and I have that video of me and my dad and my uncle and my nan and my aunt all celebrating.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's such a lovely, it's more like a, it's almost more of a family thing than anything else. And I would have said I would rather that Tottenham win a trophy than see Ireland qualify for the World Cup, because it always seemed so far away from what Ireland could do. But now we're faced with this possibility, a really strong possibility, that we can get through to the World Cup in, you know, in 2026. And now that I've seen Spurs win a trophy, I'm more open to becoming...
I've set my sights on something new.
Exactly. Especially since Spurs are absolutely shocking to watch right now and I'm really pissed off, and that's a whole other podcast episode and a whole other rant that I'm not going to get into. But I feel like this has been an incredible year for fans who've had to wait. We've had Newcastle won their first trophy in Yonks this year, winning the Carabao Cup. Crystal Palace won their first major trophy ever in the FA Cup and then went and won the Community Shield and are now playing in Europe and they're looking set to qualify for the next round. It's just, it's fantastic that you're having clubs kind of being able to give back to fans who have been so loyal for so long through, you know, really turbulent times, achieving not a lot.
I mean, like only this year we did an episode and it was well received. Maybe I like the misery.
Yes.
Of
yeah.
Why do people continue to follow our Irish national football team? And it, like, that wasn't a hot take, you know.
No.
It wasn't ridiculous. Everyone was like, yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. Like, why are we doing this? And all of a sudden, a couple of months later, it's like, this is the greatest football team on earth. Like, they've given me my moment of the year. Whereas earlier on in the year, people were saying, like, I don't know why I keep doing this.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a quick changeover and I'm glad it happened.
And one thing that I never understood is people saying, oh, well, everyone was really negative about Ireland before that Troy Parra goal. What's the big change in mindset? Why, you know, why is your opinion so different? And it's like, well, because we won the game. Like, there was nobody going into that game, including maybe probably a lot of the Irish staff and players, who thought that we can do this. But it's when you're on that football pitch and they can, you know, put their everything on the line to win that game, which they did. I mean, the celebrations were so immense because it was so unexpected. And this, as you said, moments in time. I'm hoping that we can get another one of those in March.
Yeah, fingers crossed we'll be coming back with, like, what was your sporting highlight of Q1 yeah. in 2026?
Exactly. We just need to have these podcasts like every few weeks now because we're so successful.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball, it's Gerard Gilroy. Now, before you dive into this podcast, there are plenty of ways to build an ACCA. Some people stick with the favourites, some are convinced they've cracked it, others less sure once the final result goes sideways. However you do it, William Hill lets you boost your football ACCA, giving you more back when it comes good. Just build the ACCA you want with four or more legs and William Hill will boost your winnings depending on the number of selections. The boost is applied automatically and shown right there in your bet slip, so you know exactly what you're getting. Whether it's a quiet midweek fixture or a big weekend of football, it's a simple way to get more out of every ACCA you place. Download the app or visit William Hill to get started today. Over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
Now, look, right, I feel like we could talk about Troy Parra and his goal for the rest of the pod.
Yes.
But we did, in fairness, everyone was like, yeah, it's probably my go-to, but we also got a lot of other highlights.
We did.
Dave Moore from Today FM was very kind enough to send us his highlight also on football.
My sporting moment of the year in 2025 was I took my twin girls over to see Manchester United women's team play in the Champions League, the first ever women's game in the Champions League at Old Trafford. They played against PSG and they beat them 2-1. Absolutely incredible game, incredible results, but an incredible moment to be there with my girls. Loved it.
It's so sweet. And it's what I love is families going to sporting events together. And you see so much of it at the end of the year, looking back, mega achievements from so many female sports people this year. And to have young girls being able to look up to their role models playing European football. It's amazing.
Yeah, like honourable mention here to Katie McCabe.
Yes.
Winning the Champions League.
Well, for Arsenal, I'll forgive her because it's such a huge achievement.
Yeah. And for me, going back to my nitpicking of moments, that video of her arriving at the Irish camp, clearly dying, hungover, the girls like trying to get water on board to her, and vibes are going through the roof. And obviously then the performances that she had for Ireland against Belgium, yeah, and those goals. So she's rightly up there for what she achieved in the Champions League this year. But I think what you're saying there, and what Dave was saying about get to experience that moment with his girls, would bring me on nicely to my
very good
moment of the year.
I asked you in the office earlier, and then I said, actually, don't tell me. I want to hear it live.
Yeah, now this is probably the worst recency bias of all time, because it was from last weekend.
Hey, it's still in 2025.
It's still in 2025. So there were others that I was like, yeah, that was it. But when I thought about like that specific moment, I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
So
this might not be real. But the Club Camogie finals were on in Croke Park the weekend. I was supposed to be working at them, but unfortunately couldn't. So kind of got to watch them, you know, halfway through a foggy eye, but watched them again properly on Wednesday. And there's a moment when it was two unbelievable games, but in the senior final, the Bears are playing Athenry, and Athenry equalise in like the last second of the game.
Oh.
Obviously, you know, it's a Galway club scoring against Cork club. That shouldn't be my moment of the year. But then the camera pans to the crowd, and there's this group of teenage boys celebrating, like jumping all over each other. And I cried when I saw it. I was like, I have never seen young fellas like that celebrating as if they were at a All-Ireland final, as if, which they were, but for like, yeah, a lads team, as if they were at supporting the national team. Like, they were going for it. And I was like, the fact that this is a Camogie team that they're supporting in Croke Park, and that's the love that they're getting, I was like, the kids are all right. You know, it's going to be okay.
But I completely echo that sentiment. And it reminds me of definitely one of my top sporting moments of the year as well, is Athlone Town winning, the women winning the double. And being at Tallaght Stadium a few months ago, watching that game and seeing all the Athlone fans. And yes, you have, you know, these young girls, you get to look up to the team as role models. But you have old lads who've been supporting Athlone for decades of their lives. You have, you know, kind of people my age, you know, early to mid 20s, kind of just out for a day and celebrating this team because it is their team. It's their town, and the pride that these people have, that these lads have in the women and what they're doing, is so incredible to watch and see and to be a part of as well. You know, it's such a sense of community. And for that to be built as much around women's teams as it is around men's teams, I think, yeah, 2025, you weren't half bad.
Yeah, like we do so much talking, especially around like All-Ireland final time with the women's sport, that like we need to fill Croke Park. And obviously we had like calls this year, like fill Croke Park, like you should be there. It's kind of like, That's not the way to approach this.
It needs to be more organic.
But this, it was just like, this is what we want to see. Like, yeah, perfect. It's not showing the young girls in the crowd looking up at their heroes, which obviously happened. That was true too. But it's to see that group of teenagers like absolutely jumping over themselves with excitement about this leveller. Apologies, St. Finbar's. I'm sure they'll get the win in the replay. But yeah, it was magical. It was absolutely, it was a proper like stop me in my tracks moment. I've never seen this before watching, yeah, women's sport. I've never seen that kind of reaction from a group of young lads.
And are you going to try and get to the replay?
I'll be there. I'll be working at the replay. I promise I'll work at the replay.
So there you go. Good on you. And then I think we have, is it our final football shout?
It's our final football shout.
Final, yeah, football shout for moments of the year. And then we're moving on to our more niche, perhaps, you know, hipster picks, you know, from some people later on.
Yes.
I'm going to call them hipster picks.
Yeah,
but first of all,
there's a hurling one in there somewhere and then it gets niche.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can call hurling hipster in this country, especially not where you're from.
No.
So we're going to see, we're going to hear for our last football pick from Dan.
As a Bowls man, there haven't been many. One that I will point to was an away trip that we took to Sligo Rovers. Having signed Lys Mousset and having not seen much of him, he popped up in the last minute and scored, and the place went absolutely mental. It was really, really good. And then to finish off that season away in Drogheda United, that sealed European place for next season. Then I suppose being in the Aviva to watch Ireland beat Portugal was a sort of a standout moment of the year as well. Then I suppose rugby wise, the Leinster Munster game at Croke Park this year, Munster were absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm going to slide slightly past the rugby because in honour of Susanna not being here, I don't want to mess anything up. You're probably listening, Susanna. I don't want to embarrass
myself. I can say that Munster victory over Leinster was absolutely 10 out of 10. And I also got to watch it in Ranelagh, which was an even bigger win.
Oh, in enemy territory.
In enemy territory, yeah. Dave and Rob Kearney were in the same pub as me, so it was nice just to be like...
And,
yeah.
And who's going to win in a couple weeks' time or in a week's time?
I feel like we had, you know...
Your luck is... You had your luck.
No. I'm not entirely confident. Like, you know, the way we played against Bath, it was like a bit of a pause for thought. Like, oh, did we get carried away from ourselves? But then the performance against Gloucester was pretty solid. It was messy. It was solid. So
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and like things happen in rivalry games, especially this Christmas fixture. So fingers crossed we can do it.
What I found really interesting listening to Dan is, you know, he was talking about League of Ireland teams and how well they're doing and everything like that. And we had a few comments on Facebook about people's moments of the year. We had David who said, Rovers winning the doubles, obviously he's a Rovers fan, goes along with Shells reaching the league phase of the Europa Conference League. It was great to see two League of Ireland clubs reach that stage.
Good man, David. He just wants football to increase.
Exactly. And then we had Stephen the same. Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers qualifying for Europe, putting us back on the map. I love that sentiment of League of Ireland supporters kind of, for the moment, putting aside rivalries and saying this is what is good for our sport, this is what is good for our league, helping us grow. And yes, neither Shells nor Rovers have had a good European campaign this year. That is undeniable. But at the same time, it was an historic achievement for them both to qualify. It can only be good for the league in the long run. And yeah, the next time that Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers are playing each other in the league, no one's going to care about all this happy-go-lucky good feeling vibes. It's going to be tense and it's going to be a battle.
Ah, look, it's Christmas Eve. People are feeling festive.
Exactly. You know,
people are feeling like they're giving.
I love that. It's the spirit of generosity that we're having this Christmas and this new year.
And on the rugby point as well, it would have been like remiss of us not to mention just the Women's World Cup.
Yes.
The whole feat of it, like selling out stadiums.
Those pictures and videos from the final, it was mega. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the country really got behind the team. Like, obviously, they were always going to get behind them, but, like, they were properly invested. It was being covered so well, and, like, the performances that they gave were outstanding. So they've cemented their place, I think, among Irish history as, like, that Irish team, you know, that went to the World Cup. And they were obviously so close, but just outstanding.
And I think that's, you know, we can say that about so many Irish rugby teams throughout the years. So they have really earned their place. And I feel like we have a really nice mix of, in this whole episode, Irish sporting events and then maybe wider sporting events. I think people naturally go for more Irish ones.
Yeah.
You know, talking of moments, like that Rugby World Cup team, the Irish team, is like an achievement. And within that, you have these great moments. A great moment from outside of Ireland that I sort of forgotten, but a lot of people, like Nick on Twitter, said it. Liverpool winning the Premier League feels so long ago now.
Yeah.
With where we are with Liverpool at the moment. John as well, Liverpool winning the English Premier League happened only in May and was such a huge moment for so many Irish people. And I think in terms of sports over the summer, that's maybe, even though I'm not a Liverpool fan, one of my abiding memories. And it would have been had I not spent a lot of the summer covering the All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. And I feel like you've had a lot of people that you were chatting to today, and that would be their moment. And I apologise for making you talk about this.
Yeah, look, it was always going to happen. We chatted to Cathal Minogue, first of all, from Today FM. I didn't want to because I was like, there's only going to be one thing come out of this and it's going to be Tipperary GAA related. But I think he saw the pain in my eyes and gave me a slightly different favourite sporting moment.
Best sporting moment of 2025 was on Sunday, the 6th of July, the last minute of normal time, when my neighbour, Oisin O'Donoghue, got the ball around three or four Kilkenny backs and stuck it in top corner to put 14 men Tipperary into the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, Cathal, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm just going to quickly read out some comments that we had. You know, it's like when celebrities have to read the tweets about them, of them taking the piss out of each other. So thank you, Ed, on Instagram. Tip hammering an overrated Cork team out the door. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much for that. Claire, Tipperary in the All-Ireland, it was class. Edmund, John McGrath soaring in the air to touch the ball into the Cork net in slow motion. Watched it 1,327 times. I remember the moment very well. It was a pit for me. It's also my birthday.
Yeah.
Not a great day. Actually, sorry, that day was a pit. The following day, I had to go and cover all of the Tipperary celebrations from first thing in the morning in Crumlin, which, to be fair, that was just a stunning occasion. And
yes,
it would make you forget and cop yourself on a small bit and being like, get over yourself, Rachel. But then I had to go down to Thurles to Semple Stadium and spend hours. Now it was fun to see Una from the Saturdays singing. That was a little bit of a, that was a small win but that
it,
I got.
It does feel like that entire kind of weekend into the early of the next week in work just felt like one big long torture session. Like, what can we do to make Rachel feel as bad as possible at all moments of the day?
And it was completely deserved because like we would have been, myself and Colm, we would have been insufferable if we had one. So look, we can take it. Like I was
about to say, if Cork had won, we'd paint off the ball red, but we already are red.
Yeah. And like, to go from that to the Camogie final as well, was, it was really close in my list just for second. If Cork had won, it would have been number one.
Yeah.
You know, but just the spectacle that it was, like, it was, I was lucky enough to work at it and it was incredible. Like, it was just such a good showpiece for like, this is the quality of the game. This is where the game is at right now. And I think everyone got behind that when they were able to see it. Obviously, results wise, disgusting.
Kind of while you were talking about the Camogie, I want to highlight one comment which really meant a lot, I think, to a lot of people. And it's from Hannah, our very own Hannah Stack. It's her last day tomorrow as an off-the-ball intern. She's done fantastic work. If you've seen any kind of clips from the PM show over the past few months, that is Hannah doing a fantastic job. When asked for her sporting moment of 2025, she said, Camogie players having a choice of skorts and shorts.
Yeah, that's also something that feels like it was
a million years ago.
A million years ago, yeah. That was obviously brilliant.
Yeah.
Nearly pisses me off that it had to be a sporting moment. You know,
yeah.
I'm so caught up on that because obviously it's great that it happened and I'm delighted that Sense won out. But I just, even when people bring it up now, I'm just like, can we not?
Yeah, but it's so mad that after it went through and, you know, it's like it dropped, it's like, yeah, okay, now we're back to normal because that was ridiculous. And
yeah.
It kind of makes you angry.
It makes me, I was like, oh, it shouldn't have been, it shouldn't have to have been that much of a thing. So I just don't like to give it that much discourse.
Mm.
But on that, something, no, I'm actually going to keep that for later on. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that in my back pocket.
This is very nice and very tense.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna swoop in. I'm gonna steal your mojo, and I'm gonna say that we're gonna move on to some nicher sports, some of the hipster sports.
Oh, just before we do that, sorry. While we're still on the GA.
Oh my God, you're stealing my mojo.
Yeah, I am. I have to give a shout out to Rory O'Hagan from Red FM, whose top sporting moment of the year was Sean Desmond scoring the winning goal with the last puck of the game in the All Ireland final for Watergrass Hill back in January. I think I'm still hoarse from it.
I love a January pick.
Fair play.
I love a January pick.
Yeah,
you know, it's been what, 12 months. I don't know why I had to think about that. It's been 12 months and it's still your moment of the year.
Yeah. So
I really appreciate that.
Sorry about that. You can get back to the niche sports now.
Nice. Okay. I'm back on my mojo and I'm going right over to Dara for what his moment of the year was.
My sporting moment of the year, a lot of contenders, obviously Troy versus Portugal and Hungary could be in there, but I'm going to go for something a little bit different. I'm a big cycling fan, so I'm going to say Ben Healy in the Tour de France, not his stage win, but the stage in which he took the yellow jersey, and I'm going to say two moments. I'm going to say the moment when he realised, and you can kind of see on his face and everyone around him in the breakaway, when he had to focus on gaining time and he realised that no one around him was going to help him because they all knew that he had to work to make up time on Pogacar. So they went, all right, Ben, you do all the work for us. We're going to try and win the stage. And he was okay with that. Ended up finishing third in that stage, but worked by himself for about 50 kilometres. And then the moment after the race, when he's watching Pogacar and Vingegaard come in after he's finished already, and he finds out he's won the yellow jersey, and one of the EF, his team, EF Education team members, kind of jumps on him. He's kind of a low-key guy, Ben, that he wasn't really celebrating just yet. He was just smiling, and she kind of jumped on him, started shaking him, and I think finally he let loose a little bit, and that was just a lovely moment to watch live. An Irish rider finally take the yellow jersey once again to Tour de France.
Yeah, big ups to Dara for representing the cyclists. Lara Gillespie was obviously high up there as well in our conversations, but I realised I'd been too nice with everyone and they were starting to give me like moments upon moments upon moments. So the closer we got to recording, I had to really be strict and be like, give me one moment.
You can't all be a Cullen Buick with 18 moments.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell he was earlier on in the day when I had time to spare. But Eve, big year as well for F1.
Big year for F1. And listen, if you're talking about the kind of motorsport season as a whole, what Alex Dunn has achieved for Irish motorsports is incredible. If you're talking about F1 itself, one of my least favourite years in recent years. And it's really funny that Kira Tracy, who was on the pod a couple of weeks ago, when we were asking for her favourite moment is probably one of my least favourite moments of the year. And I don't mean just in F1, I'm talking the entire sporting calendar here. I'm sorry, Kira, we're still friends, but here's what she had to say.
My sporting moment for 2025 was watching Lando Norris become world champion. I genuinely cried when he crossed that finishing line and I had my breath held until he went over that line too. I adore Lando and I know it was kind of controversial, the win, but for me it was really important, just seeing how happy he was, the kind of disbelief, and I think for a while it shook him afterwards, and I think I was just staring at the TV watching the celebrations like, I can't believe this just happened. We've seen a lot of the same winners over the last few years, so to see him win, it was so refreshing, and I think he really did deserve it. He's grown a lot and it felt like a big moment for everyone.
Unfortunately, she makes sense. And it, you know, it is true that having a new winner is important and good for the sport. So I can't argue with her, but I am disagreeing with her. But I think that's very mature of me.
Yeah, that's good. That's what conversations are all about.
Exactly. Before we leave you today, we want to talk through some honourable mentions. So Ross in the office, we didn't get a voice note from him because I forgot to ask him for one, so I apologise. But he wanted to say the French Open final between Sinner and Alcaraz, which was a great moment and probably, I think, one of my mum's top moments. She loves her tennis. And definitely, it's in my top 10, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm so indecisive. I also made like an entire list of honourable mentions. That Camogie final, Kate O'Connor obviously was mentioned earlier as well by Colm, and what she achieved this year, just incredible. You know, especially what she did, like, and we've spoken about it on the pod before, but to break like five records in that final event, be injured and still come second. I mean, like, she's like ranked number one in Europe, ranked number two in the world. And I think as a nation, we are so excited to see has to do.
Her career progression is going to be just incredible to watch. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so massive honourable mention for Kate O'Connor. Cork's Munster final victory, specifically when the ref got a cramp.
Nice. Okay.
Obviously winning on penalties, but the penalties felt a little bit bittersweet. So I'm going with the cramping situation because it was just, the game was so chaotic. It was like, this is brilliant. And you were like, no way is this after happening. So that specifically also gets an honourable mention. Carla Rowe's backheeled goal versus Galway in the semi-final extra time. It put Dublin 5 points up and they didn't let up after that. It was just beautiful.
I'm loving how specific these are.
They're moments, Eve. I'm a pedantic person.
Well, then for my moment, instead of saying the full-time whistle for the Tottenham Europa League final win, I'm going to say Mickey van de Ven's clearance off the line to prevent Man United from scoring a goal, which is my uncle's phone lock screen and will never change.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want those moments.
Exactly.
Katie Taylor's trilogy victory over Amanda Serrano as well. A couple of honourable mentions that we could do full pods about each topic. But we are pressed for time here.
We're pressed for time, even though I said in the office all week, tight 25. Now we're here at a not very tight, approaching 40. So I'm going to say, for our word in the studio, what are you looking forward to most sporting-wise in 2026?
Again, going to come in with something recent, but the LGFA have announced that they're going to trial like 12 new rules for the upcoming season.
Okay.
Which brings me back to another honourable mention, Gaelic football being fantastic again. Yeah. Thank you very much to the URC.
It's back.
It's back. We maybe saw some worrying scenes about how it could also be ruined in some of the later stages of the club championship, but we won't worry about that just yet.
Nah, it's Christmas.
We've spent so much of the year talking about how ladies football needs to become more physical, how there needs to be rule changes, and they've just done it. They're going to trial it for first couple of months, and I'm so excited to see what it does for the sport, because there's a lot of negative aspects to it, you know, with players heading off to the AFLW and be worried about the future of the sport, but this is such a positive step by the LGFA, and I can't wait to see how it ends up. I'm also very nervous because I have never been to the gym to do an upper body workout.
You'll be fine. So, that's what January is for.
Yeah. And Eve?
So, speaking of January, I think very selfishly and incredibly biased, what I'm looking forward to most is happening very soon on January 11th. So Word on the Street is going to be taking over the Sunday radio show. That's me and yourself and Susanna, who will be talking about kind of respectively the football, the GAA, the rugby. We have some exciting stuff that I don't want to spoil anything, but some interesting topics we're going to talk about. It's going to be our first time doing a full live radio show, so everybody be nice to us. I have not asked for the figures of how many people tune in to Off the Ball on a Sunday, because it's going to freak me out. And Brona's in the box going, yeah, you're right, don't ask. So make sure to tune in on the 11th of January, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m, Word on the Street taking over. And I think that's just a great way to see out what was a wonderful 2025. So Susanna will be back with us soon. Rachel, thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for listening, guys.
Have a very happy new year.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hey everybody, it's Off the Ball, it's Gerard Gilroy. Now, before you dive into this podcast, there are plenty of ways to build an ACCA. Some people stick with the favourites, some are convinced they've cracked it, others less sure once the final result goes sideways. However you do it, William Hill lets you boost your football ACCA, giving you more back when it comes good. Just build the ACCA you want with four or more legs, and William Hill will boost your winnings depending on the number of selections. The boost is applied automatically and shown right there in your bet slip, so you know exactly what you're getting. Whether it's a quiet midweek fixture or a big weekend of football, it's a simple way to get more out of every ACCA you place. Download the app or visit William Hill to get started today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, back to the podcast.